Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith?
Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people
can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice. Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Jonathan Burness. As many of you know, I'm a Jewish rabbi, and I'm also a believer in Jesus. Now, to some of you, that may seem confusing, but I want to share how and why that happened on today's program. Ezra, thanks for joining me again today.
Great to be here.
Ezra is also a Jewish believer in Jesus and our Vice President of Global Ministries Affairs here at Jewish Voice. Well, Ezra, we're Jewish believers in Jesus, and for some that seems strange.
It does, Jonathan, and we're going to talk about why that's not only not strange according to the scriptures, but actually the destiny of God for the Jewish people, for his chosen people. And, you know, Jonathan, I was reflecting, Jewish Voice turned 55 this year. We actually just did a week ago.
I'm not the founder, by the way. I wasn't
right.
So I was a little kid.
From the 60s on, either on radio or then about a decade later on television, we've been on TV over 40 years, not me, but we. The main reason we're on the airwaves originally in the vision of the founder was to share testimonies with the Jewish community and also with the Christian community of Jewish men and women who had come to faith in Jesus as Messiah.
Yeah, pretty much exclusively. First on radio and then on television.
Right.
Jewish Voice was focused on Jewish people telling their stories, on finding Jewish people that had had an experience with the God of Israel and come to discover that Jesus, we call him by his Hebrew name Yeshua,
right,
was the promised Messiah. Mm-hmm. And so they would travel to different parts of the country, sometimes gather people at a conference, mm-hmm, or go to a conference, and then they would tape people as they told their testimonies of how they had come to know Jesus as Messiah.
Right, and thinking back to the timing of all of this, something very interesting was happening. Many of you watching today will remember this. It was the Jesus movement in America, wasn't it? And within the Jesus movement, hundreds of thousands, millions of young men and women receiving Jesus as Lord, was a subset of those receiving Jesus were Jewish.
Yeah, and they were coming to the Lord in profound ways, miraculous ways. I met Lewis and Kira Kaplan watching Jewish Voice
the
as a brand new
Jewish
believer.
Voice.
The founders of Jewish Voice, the television program was actually hosted by Kira, mm-hmm, Kaplan, mm-hmm, who was a Finnish believer. She had a Finnish accent, and it was a bit strange, but it was so compelling, because as I heard the Jewish person share their testimony, point after point connected with my life. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's what happened to me. Mm-hmm. That's what happened to me. And I don't know if I wrote to the Kaplans or somebody wrote on my behalf, but a couple of years later, I was a guest on the program, and that's how I became friends with the Kaplans.
And here you are hosting it today.
Here I am.
A couple decades later.
Yeah.
So, Jonathan, you know, these days you're leading one of the largest ministries to reach Jewish people with the gospel in the earth, but that, of course, wasn't always the case. There was a before Jesus life for Jonathan Burness, and we want to talk a little bit about that today.
There was indeed, and I don't like to talk about it too much. Our producer kind of pushed me along and said, tell some of the stuff you don't usually tell. So
right,
that's what I'm going to do today. I'll just start by saying I was born in a very typical American Jewish household, mm-hmm, where Jewish identity was important, but orthodoxy was not part of our tradition. Mm-hmm. So I didn't wear a yarmulke, a head covering. Mm-hmm. We didn't keep a kosher home. My father did, mm-hmm, but then left that after his father died. But Jewish identity was very, very important to me, Ezra. Mm-hmm. And I like to say it this way. I was taught from the time that I was a little boy, mm-hmm, that Jews don't believe in Jesus. So Judaism, during my day, probably was more defined by what Jews didn't believe than what we did believe.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of debate about what Jews believed. Who is a Jew?
Mm-hmm.
And about that time, there was an acceptance of homosexual Jews,
right,
as being valid.
Right.
There was a growing number of atheist Jews mm-hmm. because of the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. They were accepted, mm-hmm. and atheist synagogues began to emerge around the United States.
Right.
There was basically three groups, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, all with differing degrees of practice. Mm-hmm. But the traditional idea that an Orthodox Jew believes in the authority of Scripture mm-hmm. began to diminish. Again, mm-hmm. post-Holocaust Judaism. But it's about tradition. It's about retaining identity. I was taught that I was born a Jew, that I would die a Jew, and that was inbred into me, deeply inbred into me as a child growing up.
Right. Now, this idea that to be Jewish means to not believe in Jesus, what are the roots of that? Did a rabbi one day just say, Jesus isn't the Messiah and that's the way it is, or was this something much, much longer term in the Jewish tradition?
I'll give you a short answer
sure.
because it's really a long and complicated answer, but we have to go back to the first century mm-hmm. and we see that there was a division mm-hmm. when Jesus, we call him Yeshua, emerged mm-hmm. on the scene. Many followed him, and the ones that mm-hmm. followed him were Jews.
Right.
We have to understand that. These weren't Christians following him. They were Jews. Mm-hmm. Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. His audience were Jews, and a great number of what we call the Am Ha'aretz, the people of the land, mm-hmm. embraced him. Hmm. Where we have a problem is with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, mm-hmm. more with the Sadducees than the Pharisees, but I don't want to get too complicated.
Sure.
And I think it was an issue of power, control, and Yeshua was saying some things that weren't quite in line with the views that were held in that day. Mm-hmm. He made some statements that were very clear. C.S. Lewis puts it this way, if you really look at the words of Yeshua, of Jesus, he was either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord.
That's right.
He was a liar because he claimed to be the Messiah, and if he wasn't, he was a liar. He made some statements that the rabbis understood were blasphemous mm-hmm. before Abraham was, I am. And the rabbis understood what he was saying. He was declaring himself to be equal with God. That's a no-no in Judaism, right?
Right.
There's only one God unless you are in
unless
fact.
Unless it's true.
Yes, unless in fact it's true. So he's either a liar, a lunatic, he's out of his mind, or he is in fact Lord. And many accepted him, but there was this standoff with the leadership and ultimately a decision on the part of the gatekeepers of the people of Israel that determined he's not our Messiah, and there began to be a separation that took well over 100 years to happen, really being finalized about 120 years after the birth, resurrection, the death resurrection of Messiah, the Bar Kokhba revolt. And then you have a period, I'll just finish with this, of anti-Semitism, of growing anti-Semitism, of disputation, of dialogue, mm-hmm. of conflict, Jews put to the death in the name of Christ and Christianity. So we have a 2,000-year legacy where the church and the synagogue separate, a moat, a wall is built, and they actually experience hostility. And so you have two separate religions, them and us. It's not the way it was in the first century.
So Jonathan, it sounds like there's two obstacles within the Jewish community as it relates to Jesus. As you said, this kind of rabbinical final decision, Jesus isn't or can't be the Messiah, and that's the way it is. And then secondarily, as the centuries unfold after the resurrection of Jesus, hostility toward the Jewish people at the hands of followers of Christ, followers
That's right.
of Christianity. And so it's like this double barrier then for the Jewish community.
Well put. So let's look at history, just a few examples of history. You have the Crusades during the Middle Ages. Christian armies marched through Europe on their way to conquer Israel and Jerusalem and murdered entire Jewish villages in the name of Christ with crosses at the front of their armies.
Right.
We may say they weren't Christians, but they certainly identified as Christians.
Sure.
You look at the Spanish Inquisition, moving into Portugal, 1492 began, ran over 100 years, and you have Jewish believers who are actually imprisoned and killed because they are retaining their Jewish identity. Right. And you have Jews that are banished from Spain, mm-hmm. forced out of the country, forced out of Portugal, again, in the name of Christ and Christianity, burned on the stake. Hmm. Those that were forced to convert to Christianity and then retain their identity, burned at the stake in the name of Christ and Christianity.
Right, right.
You have the pogroms in Russia and Eastern Europe in the name of Christ and Christianity, and then it culminates in the Holocaust, where you have Germans wearing a cross mm-hmm. on their uniform, a twisted cross, but nevertheless a cross,
sure.
telling Jews, we killed you, we kill you because you killed our God, Jesus Christ. Ezra, how can a Jew come out of that history and embrace Christ, the one that was responsible for the murder of 6 million Jews?
Right.
Responsible for this horrific history.
So Jesus, the Jewish Jesus, the Jewish Messiah and the Savior of the world, is swallowed up in centuries of history of atrocities committed against the Jewish people in the name of Christ.
And becomes the God of a religion that hates Jews.
And is unrecognizable to the Jewish people.
Unrecognizable. Right. And yet we're saying, wait, he's our Messiah.
Right. But you can see the obstacles. I hope you can see the obstacles against the gospel going to a Jewish person.
And that's what we're dealing with. Is it overcome? Can it be overcome? Yes, it can.
Absolutely.
Because the scriptures are very clear. He is the Messiah of Israel. Amen. And the Savior of the world.
Amen.
We have to take a break. But before we do, I need to let you know that we need your help right now. I know that you may be presented with a lot of different opportunities to give, but please know that your support of Jewish Voice is truly making a difference. Please take a moment to listen to our announcer, and please consider joining us as a monthly Shalom partner. You'll be changing the lives of Jewish people. We'll be right back.
As Jonathan and Ezra are teaching today, discovering the real Jesus of Nazareth will change your perspective and faith in the Messiah. As you support Jewish Voice today with a one-time gift of $40, you'll receive Jonathan's book, A Rabbi Looks at Jesus of Nazareth. You'll learn about Jonathan's personal encounter with the Jewish Jesus that changed his life. In addition, you'll also receive a hope and a future, reminding you, even when things look impossible, God has a plan for you. We'll also include the Jewish Voice calendar for 2023, denoting all of the Jewish and Christian holidays in the coming year. Jonathan is encouraging you to join him as a new monthly Shalom partner. As you make an ongoing commitment and become a new Shalom partner with a gift of just $30 today, Jonathan will sign his book, A Rabbi Looks at Jesus of Nazareth, and will include this beautifully woven throw with the words from Psalm 122, Pray for the Peace of Jerusalem. Make sure to request the Rabbi's Testimony Package as you contact us today. Please respond now by calling the 800 number on the screen and letting our representative know what level of giving you would like to participate in. If you prefer, you can always choose to give securely online at jewishvoice.tv. Thank you for your generous support of Jewish Voice. Now, let's rejoin Jonathan and Ezra.
We honestly could not do this work without you. Thank you for your generous giving and especially for joining Jewish Voice as a monthly Shalom partner. Your ongoing support of this ministry is so valuable. We appreciate you so much. So thanks again. Well, as we're continuing the journey.
Yeah,
I understand we have some pictures.
We do, and we'll dive right in. We promised you a testimony, and a testimony you shall have. So we talked about, you know, the diabolical nature of the enemy to sow not only a mass rejection of Jesus on the part of Jewish leadership, but also Christian hostility toward the Jewish community. So now, fast forward the better part of two millennia, and here's the young Jonathan Burness. We have some photos we'll put up.
With this mentality that Jesus isn't for me.
That's right.
And Ezra, I call it very simply an us and them mentality. Mm-hmm. We're Jews, we're born Jews, we're to die Jews, and anyone else is a Christian or a Gentile. We didn't distinguish between the two.
Right.
It's an ingrown community, and that's part of survival, 2,000-year survival. And so when I was approached with people, I was part of a group called Young Life, for a while in high school. And when I was approached with considering Jesus, I immediately said, I'm Jewish, and the person apologized to me. So they were reinforcing this erroneous idea that Jesus isn't for me as a Jew. It's for the Christians. It's for the Gentiles.
Right. And maybe you're listening and you've done the same thing out of courtesy, out of respect for a Jewish person when the Gospels refused with the answer, I'm Jewish. And you say, I'm sorry, I didn't know. It's just maybe what our audience hadn't considered, Jonathan, is that it just reinforces that Jesus is the God of the Christians and the Jews have their own way to heaven, their own way to salvation.
Right.
And it's not the case.
Right.
Scripturally, it's just not the
Jesus
case.
Jesus was just not an option.
Right. So here, maybe you're embarrassed to say, I'll say,
yeah.
Here's the young on the left, the childhood and then the teenage football playing Jonathan Burness.
This I'm probably 3 years old here. And my brother, I think I intentionally cropped him out at some point.
Well, that's what
my
we do
brother. So my sister Sue and my mom, beautiful fan. She just passed away last year, but raised us with a very strong sense of Jewish identity. I went to temple regularly. Mm-hmm. I learned Hebrew. I had a bar mitzvah. That was all incumbent upon my parents. So I went kicking and screaming twice a week to Hebrew school.
Right, yeah. Right. Like most good Jewish boys and girls in North America.
So that's me with hair. And then got into sports. My brother was more of a hippie. This is the 70s. He got into drugs. Mm-hmm. I was 2.5 years younger. I went for the sports. I wasn't great, but I played defensive line in high school, and then after high school in my senior year, in the transition between high school and college, I got involved with drugs. I don't know if you can see my glazed eyes here on the right picture, but I started to get involved in smoking pot,
right.
And that led to heavier things, and I was searching. I was searching because the Bible says that we have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge as mm-hmm. Jews. Mm-hmm. And so I found that that drugs were a pathway into a supernatural realm. Mm-hmm. And I wanted answers. I wanted answers to why I'm here. Mm-hmm. I wanted answers to what's going to happen to me after I die. I wanted answers about what's going to happen to the world, what's my destiny and purpose. And that began a journey into pot and other drugs, other
right.
harder
looking
drugs.
Looking
for answers.
And so through all the substances and the search, eventually you're confronted with the gospel message.
I am. I had now, by this time, I was involved in quite a few drugs. Mm-hmm. Without going into name, sometimes I refer to myself as a unlicensed pharmacist. So let's just say I explored with many different drugs.
Sure.
I got involved in a group called the Grateful Dead, actually connected to the band members, mm-hmm. Jerry Garcia and Bill Kreutzmann, and became friends with the band. And we started sharing drugs together. That was a wild psychedelic scene. And in the midst of that time of fun, and I was having fun. I'm not going to tell you that I was wayward and miserable. I was having fun. A girlfriend who was a drug explorer with me accepted the Lord, came back into my life, and began to witness to me and would not stop. She was relentless.
Hmm. And did you present the same resistance? I'm Jewish, don't talk to me about this? I mean, what was your thinking as she's sharing this with you relentlessly?
Yeah, she was so committed and she was calling so often. I never got that far. And she would bring up the questions that I was asking.
Hmm.
Why do you think you're here on this earth? What's your purpose? What's going to happen after you die? And I reached a point where I said, I don't want to talk to you anymore. But when she would call, I would end up picking the phone up and talking to her for an hour or 2 hours. Ezra, I like to say it this way. I believe in free will, but God stacks the deck when people are praying. You need to know that. You need to hear this. God stacks the deck when people are praying. Yes, there's free will, but prayer changes things. Mm. I didn't know this, but she had her Bible study praying for me, her new Bible study. She had her new church praying for her Jewish friend. And something began to change in my life that led me to a Bible study. And I didn't want to go, but I went. And I drove through the pouring rain in a motorcycle to get to the Bible study. That's what prayer does. And I went to this Bible study, and I immediately felt out of place, But something began to happen at that study. That study was the beginning of a change in my life because at that study I was confronted by the Bible study leader with questions about separation from God and sin and eternal destiny. And it really made me think.
Something's going on inside you. Something feels different about the study. What happened then?
I actually experienced a spiritual battle. It was like an angel on one shoulder and a demon on the other. I'm serious.
Classic, yeah.
I felt the presence of God in the room, although I didn't understand what the presence of God was. I felt something going on in my heart, and I would hear, "You've got to do this. Don't do this. This is your future. Oh, you'll have to give up everything." It's back and forth. And so finally I prayed a prayer because this was so intense, I just wanted it to be over. So I mumbled some prayer about accepting Jesus. But it wasn't something I was really agreeing to in my mind. I went home. I tried to forget it. But about 2-3 days later, I had this urge to read the Bible from nowhere, out of nowhere.
Wow.
Something changed, and I couldn't push it away. So the search for a Bible is a whole story that I don't have time to tell. I didn't know where to find a Bible.
Right.
I knew I couldn't go to the rabbi. I knew I didn't have friends to go to. They were all drug users and dealers. Mm-hmm. Somebody had given me a Bible years earlier, and I threw it in a bag in my parents' house in my closet, and I drove almost 100 miles by motorcycle to get that Bible.
Wow.
By the way, there's a message here. The Word of God never returns void. Don't give up. Don't give up.
That's right.
Your household shall be saved. Don't give up. So found the Bible, drove back to my dorm room. I'm a sophomore now in the dorms. I opened the Bible to the book of Matthew, and I saw what I expected, Jesus Christ, the Messiah.
Yeah.
But then I see the lineage, and in the lineage I see Abraham and Moses. And Ezra, everything changed when I saw Abraham and Moses because I realized these are Jewish guys in a book that's supposed to be for Christians. Then I discovered that Jesus was Jewish, that his name was Yeshua. I had a little margin. It's a study Bible that he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in the weeks and months that followed, reading the scripture transformed my life because I saw that this was not a book about Christianity. This was a book about my people, Israel, and our Messiah, Yeshua. Everything changed.
It's awesome.
Hey, I need to take a break. This is so hard to take a break now, but we need to. I want to tell you how to receive the resources that we're making available today and also how you can get involved with Jewish Voice. I want to ask you to join us as a Shalom monthly partner. Your continued monthly support will quite literally change lives and give us the opportunity to share the gospel with Jewish people and their neighbors living in horrible conditions, desperate conditions. You can make a difference. Stay with us after this short message. Ezra and I are back to pray with you, to come into agreement with you for your needs and the needs of your family. So don't go away.
As Jonathan and Ezra are teaching today, discovering the real Jesus of Nazareth will change your perspective and faith in the Messiah. As you support Jewish Voice today with a one-time gift of $40, you'll receive Jonathan's book, A Rabbi Looks at Jesus of Nazareth. You'll learn about Jonathan's personal encounter with the Jewish Jesus that changed his life. In addition, you'll also receive A Hope and a Future, reminding you, even when things look impossible, God has a plan for you. We'll also include the Jewish Voice calendar for 2023, denoting all of the Jewish and Christian holidays in the coming year. Jonathan is encouraging you to join him as a new monthly Shalom partner. As you make an ongoing commitment and become a new Shalom partner with a gift of just $30 today, Jonathan will sign his book, A Rabbi Looks at Jesus of Nazareth, and will include this beautifully woven throw with the words from Psalm 122, Pray for the Peace of Jerusalem. Make sure to request the Rabbi's Testimony Package as you contact us today. Please respond now by calling the 800 number on the screen and letting our representative know what level of giving you would like to participate in. If you prefer, you can always choose to give securely online at jewishvoice.tv. Thank you for your generous support of Jewish Voice. Now, let's rejoin Jonathan and Ezra.
Jonathan, let's close our time together the way we always do, praying for your needs at home. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to Israel and to all those who would call upon your name. Lord, we're praying two things today. We're asking you to impart a burden, the burden of your heart for the salvation of your chosen people on those watching and listening today. And Lord, also in view of your extraordinary faithfulness to Israel, Lord, we take that for ourselves and we thank you for your faithfulness to meet the needs of those watching today, financial, spiritual, yes, family related, career related,
yes,
destiny stepping into related.
Yes,
Lord, meet those needs
done
in your faithfulness in Yeshua's name.
Let it be done.
Amen.
Let it be done. Let it be done. Amen. If you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to our website, jewishvoice.tv. You can also send us your prayer request right on the website. We have a team here at Jewish Voice that's committed to praying over your prayer requests. And by name, by need, we will pray for you, believing in the power of God in prayer that He will answer you because God cares about you. He loves you. Well, as we close the program, I want to remind you of what God asks each of us to do on a daily basis. He says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122:6, may they prosper who love thee. So may you prosper as you bless Israel and the Jewish people. Until next time, this is Jonathan Burness and Ezra Benjamin saying shalom and God bless you.
Join Jewish Voice as a shalom partner today. And you will be part of a dedicated group committed to monthly support to provide medical and spiritual care for one person each month. As a Shalom partner, you'll not only be making a worldwide impact, but you will also receive exclusive benefits, including online access to an entire library of content to educate, equip, and inspire you in your faith. You will also receive the insider updates about the people you are helping around the world. Don't miss this opportunity to bless the Jewish people with your ongoing support as a monthly Shalom partner.